Okay, Rabbi Isai, today's daf is daf Samach Dalid. Since the beginning of Samach Dalid is in the middle of the sugya, we'll start back on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, roughly 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara begins, Ahu Mavua Dehavadayir Ba Lachman Bar Ristak. There was a Mavoi in which Lachman Bar Ristak lived. Lachman Bar Ristak, by definition, doesn't sound like a Jewish name, and in fact it isn't a Jewish name. He was a Gentile. Okay, so what's the din if you have in your chotzer, or in this case, a mavui? What happens if you have a Gentile? What do you do? So we started off our perek, a couple of days ago, saying that there's a machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. That was back on Samach Aleph Amud Beis in the Mishnah. And Reb Elezer ben Yaakov said that if you have only one Jew living together with one goy in a chotzer, then this is such an unlikely scenario. And the reason why it's so unlikely, the Gemara said, is because the goyim, unfortunately, are choshed of shvichas damim. So no normal, rational, sane Jew would want to live all by himself together with that Gentile, knowing that chas v'shalom, his end might be very quickly in sight. So therefore, this is such a rare situation, Chacham didn't even bother legislating in that case. However, if you have two Jews or more together with one Gentile in a chotzer, in our case inside a mavui, what you have to do is you have to resolve the issue. You don't resolve the issue by asking the Gentile to go and contribute towards the Erev, but rather you have to do what's called Schiras Rishus. Schiras Rishus means that you have to go and rent out his Rishus for Shabbos. You have to explain to him why you're renting it and why you're leasing it, but if he agrees, whatever the amount, whether it's $1 for $50, for $100, if he agrees, then all of a sudden his Rishus belongs to you, and now you have no problem in carrying in the chotzer. So you have to do Schiras Rishus with that akur. Okay, so far so good. So now we have a situation where we have one akum by the name of Lachman Bar Ristak, and the Jews wanted to go and carry in the chotzer and in the mavui, and they went to him and said, Lachman Bar Ristak, we're willing to pay you to go and rent out your right to the premises over the entire Shabbos, so that we'll be able to go and carry. Lachman Bar Ristak, however, was a very difficult character, and he refused to help out the Jews. Omrulei, they asked him, Oigelon Rishusech, please, we want to go and rent out your premises. Loi Oigelohu, and he said, no, with a capital N. Notice that there's a very fascinating Tosfos. We usually don't learn the entire Tosfos. This will be one of those rare occasions that we'll learn the whole Tosfos from beginning to end. Tosfos is 10 lines into the wide lines. Lachman Bar Ristak, Rabbeinu Chananel Goris, not Lachman, but Haman. We've gone through the whole Tosfos, Rabbi Isai, the Kashim with the Teretz and everything else. His real name was not Lachman, but it was Haman Bar Ristak. And just like the Haman of yesteryear wasn't a nice guy, this Haman wasn't a nice guy either. And when he heard that it was within his ability to go and help out the Jews by going and doing a Schiras Rishus, he said, no, I'm not interested in helping the Jews. After all, his name was Haman. When we were learning the shir yesterday, someone said that he saw that the name Humeini, which is a very common name among the Iranians, that Humeini is all derivatives of the name Haman. So, as we say in Yiddish, Odeyo Odenisht, but we continue on, we got a problem. We have a whole bunch of people living in this mavui that cannot carry on Shabbos, because of the fact that we have Haman who lives there, and he refuses to go and rent out the premises. So also, Omer Le Abaye, they said to Abaye, Abaye, is there any way that you can help us out? Omer Lehu, I have an idea. Zilu betilu rishu saichu legabi chad. There are, let's say, 5 Jews living in that chotzer, that mavui. I have a good idea. All 5 of you, or actually 4 out of the 5, should be mevatel their rishus to number five to the fifth individual, and by going and being mevatel their rishus, guess what? They will no longer exist in terms of rishuyos. It's only going to be one rishus now. Havale yachid b'makom nachri. What's going to happen is that all five are now going to be combined into this one Jew, because the other four are going to be mevatel the rishus to him. So it's as if he owns the entire rishus of all of the five. Now that there's only one Jew and one Nachri left, that's Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. Says the Gemara, v'yochid b'mokim Nachri le'yosar. Reb Elezer ben Yaakov says only if you have two Yidin, and not if you have one Jew. So we only have one Jew left because all the other Jews have gone and have been mevatel the rishus to this Yid. Amrulei, so they said to Abaye, on the surface this sounds like a good idea. However, midihu tayima el leishchiach the diary, v'hacha hakadiri. What they said is halachically, Abaye, what you said makes a lot of sense, but in practical terms, it doesn't make sense. What does that mean in practical terms? It doesn't make sense. That the whole reason why the Chachamim made their gezeira of not allowing a Jew to go and carry, if there happens to be a goy living within that chotzer or that movoy, unless he's willing to do schiris rishus. The reason is because if you have more than one Jew, two or more Jews, the Gemara made a gezeira, Chachamim made a gezeira, shelo yilmoid memasav. We don't want to incentivize Jews to live within close quarters together with a goy, because unfortunately, as we know, neighbors have a tendency to become friendly, which is, of course, a very positive thing. But if your next-door neighbor happens to be a Gentile, and he's an oyved avodah zarah, and he's an oichel chazir, and he does all other types of things which we Jews would not accept, we might learn from him and say, you know, John next door, he's a nice guy, and he seems to be a person of integrity, and he dresses nicely, and he seems to be a mensch, and all the rest, and he goes to the St. Mary's Church, you know, maybe I'll try it out one day. Anyway, so there was this gezeira shel yilmid b'masav. And the Gemara told us that if it's only one Jew who lives together with the goy in the same movoy, or the same chotzer, I don't really have to worry about that, because that's such an unlikely situation. It's a dover she'eno yishchiach, and a milzad lo yishchiach le'gozru barabanon. Why is it a milzad lo yishchiach? As we said a moment ago, because unfortunately the goyim were choshed on shvichas damon, and one Jew is going to be scared. He's going to be terrified to live all by himself with just one goy in the same movoy, in the same chotzer. But if you have two or more, they're no longer so concerned about shvichas damim, because they're assuming that the goy is not going to go and chas v'sholom kill one of the Jews. There are other Jews that live in the same chotzer. They will be witnesses. They will be able to go and point the finger at the murderer and tell the police, etc., etc. So two or more Jews were not concerned, or they would not be concerned about living in the same chotzer or the same movi. However, we do have the concern of shemo yilmoid b'masav. So therefore, what the Gemara is saying is, even though technically Abaye, what you said makes sense, if all of the other Jews in this chotzer, in this movi, are mevatel the rishus to one yid, so it's as if there's only one Jew living here, and Reb Elezer ben Yaakov said by one Jew, le'gozru be'rabbonim, because it's a milta le'shchiach. But that's halachically and logically. But the facts on the ground are that there are more than one Jew in this chotzer or this movi, and therefore, as a result, the Chachamim did make a gzeira when there's more than one Jew, shemo yilmid mamasav. So says the Gemara, midi utayma el goyishchiach the diary. The whole reason when there's only one individual, you're allowed to go and live with the goy, and you don't need tzchiris rishus, is because the Chachamim were not goyzer, loyishchiach. It's a very unusual thing that one Jew should live together with one goy in a chatz. But here, it is shchiach, because in fact you have four or five or whatever number of Jews, and therefore that was shchiach. And the Chacham did make a gezeira, and the gezeira was shelo yilmoy b'masav, and therefore they said that you cannot go and carry in this chatzer without doing shchiras rishus. So how does this bittul rishus going to operate? Every Gemara says Abaye, Omalahu, ko bituli rishusayu, gabi chad, when four or five Jews are mevatel their rishus to one other Jew, that's mutzal l'shchichihi. That's a very rare occurrence as well. When do you ever hear that Jews are mevatel their rishus? They make an Eruv. But here they cannot make an Eruv because of the goy's presence. So therefore this bitul rishus is also one in a million type of thing. It's a mutzal l'shchich, a mutzal l'shchich like gozer barabanan. Just like the chalom, we're not goyzer in a case when there's only one Jew living together with the goy. Why weren't they goyzer? Because the Gemara assumed, Chazal assumed, that this is never going to happen, or it's only going to happen one in a million cases, because a Jew would be scared, never because of potential shvichas dam. Here too it's a mutzal l'shchicha. What's a mutzal l'shchicha? That everybody's going to mevatel their shus to one yid. It's such a mutzal l'shchicha, like goyzer barabanan, and therefore you're going to be able to carry in this mavoi even without the benefit of an Erev, without Tzchiris Rishus, without a Shituf and Mavois, just on the Bittul Rishus alone. Says the Gemara, sounds good. Also Rav Huna Barei Rav Yeshua, Omer L'Shmaita Kamei D'Rava. Rav Huna Barei Yeshua came to Rav and told Rav, did you hear the brilliant idea of Abaye? Now we'll be able to carry in this Chotzer, in this mavoi. Amalei Rava, Rava wasn't so convinced. He says, "Im ken be talta teiras eira mi oise mavoi." By doing this eitza, which halachically works, Rava concedes. But however, what's going to happen is that people will forget that there's a teiras eiruv, because they'll never have to make an eiruv for the future. I mean, this problem with Haman living in their midst presumably is going to continue on for the rest of their lives, and therefore they're never going to have to make an Erev. Instead, they're going to go and do the Bittul Rishus every single week. And maybe they won't even do it on a weekly basis. They'll just do it once annually. They'll be Mevatel Rishus. And they'll forget about the whole Inyan of Erev. And if they're going to forget about the whole Din of Erev, that could be a Greiser Kilkel. Because what will happen is, what happens if they're going to go next Shabbos to a different Mavoi, and they're going to be there for Shabbos, they'll say, well, the Mavoi that I live in throughout the year, we never make an Erev, and everybody carries, so you can probably carry in this Mavoi too. And people will get carried away with carrying on Shabbos. That's also a problem. Says the Gemara, you don't have an Eitzah for that. The Eitzah is the Ma'arvi. We're going to go and make an Erev, even though this Erev doesn't help. The Tap Rashi says, the Loi Mahani, this Erev won't have any halachic effectiveness. We're just going to do it Azaycha v'yitzias Mitzrayim, that people shouldn't go and say, you can go and carry in a Mavoi without an Erev. We're going to make an Erev, even though this Erev doesn't work. Therefore, the combination of the Bittul Rishus and this Erev, the Chayra have a good Eitzah. Said Rava, oh no, Yoimru Erev Moyel b'mokam Nachri. Then people are going to be misled, and they're going to think that even though there's a Goy that lives in your midst, in your community, you can make an Erev anyway, even without Tzchiris Rishus. And therefore, generations later, people are going to go and say, oh, I remember Abaye allowed people to go and carry in this Mavoi by making an Erev, even though the Goy was not Mevatel, was not Tzchiris Rishus. He never went and rented out his premises. Says Yomar de Machrazinan, oh, I have a good idea. Before Shabbos, or Friday night, or Shabbos morning, the Rav in Shul is going to make a big announcement. He's going to say, Rabbeisai, you know, all of us that are carrying in this Mavoi, the reason why we're doing it is because of the fact that there is a Goy in our midst. The Goy in our midst refused to go and do Schiris Rishus. So we had to do a Bittul Rishus. And we, so that people shouldn't forget Toydus Erev, we even made an Erev. But you should know, it's not the Erev that works, because an Erev without the Goy's participation through Schiris Rishus, that Erev is worthless. The reason why we're able to go and carry is because Bittul Rishus, all the other Jews in town, in the Mavoi, were Mavatel the Rishus to one Yit. So Timura, Achrasta Lidardiki, this helps for the people that are around in Shul today. but what happens in future generations? In other words, a little kinderlach who in 10, 20, 30 years are going to grow up, and they are going to go and say, when I was born into this mavui, I've lived here through my entire life, and I never ever heard anything about going and doing schiris rishus from the goy. And in fact, the goy happens to be Haman, and he's not willing to go and rent out his premises to any of us. And nevertheless, we can make an Erev, and you see the Erev helps even with Mokam Nachri. And therefore, they'll be misled, and they'll think that that's a general halachic rule, that you can always go and make an Erev, even though the Nachri is not participating and is not helping. Rather, he's hindering. And therefore, says Rava, I reject Abaya's idea, and rather I have another proposal. El Amar Rava, what's my proposal? Lezel chad minayu likriv lei, v'lishol minei duchta, v'leinach be'midi. What we should have is try that one of the Jews that lives there in the Mavoi should try to befriend Haman, and go to him and say to him, now that we've become friends, can you do me a favor? Oh, for you? Sure, Yankel. What favor can I do for you? You know, you have this very large property, this large chotzer. You know what? Do me a favor. Let me just borrow 1 inch by 1 inch, or 1 foot by 1 foot in your property, so that I, leinach be'midi, so that I can go and put something over there, and therefore this will be just a little placeholder, I'll put something. And the assumption is that the Haman will say, okay, you know, for you, I'm happy to do that. And he'll put that place away. And as a result, says the Gemara de Havilei, the Jew is now going to be converted into a Schiroi Ulekitoi. Schiroi Ulekitoi literally means employees that work for the guy. And the difference between a Schiroi and Lekitoi, says Rashi, a Socher is a person who works full time throughout the year. Lekitoi is a person who only works during the harvest season. That's why he's called Lekitoi, because he helps in being locating and then harvesting the person's fruits and crops. There's a special din by Tzchiru Lekitoi, as we'll see in another line, that you do not have to do Tzchiru Sushus from the owner. You can do Tzchiru Sushus from the Tzchiru Lekitoi. And therefore, many of us that want to carry in our apartment buildings in Manhattan, to be able to carry in the common areas, in the lobby downstairs, and every floor on the landing, the floor that unites and puts together all of the apartments on that floor. So what do people do? They go and rent the premises from the Goyish owner. Now, how do they rent the premises? You could theoretically go and write a letter and send in a dollar to the management office and ask them to go and rent out for purposes of carrying on Shabbos. Or you can go to the superintendent, or for that matter, presumably even the doorman. Again, all practical halachas, ask your favorite competent Orthodox rabbi. But generally, the way people would do it is they would go to the superintendent and they would give him a dollar or two and say, you know, for Jewish reasons, we want to be able to go and carry. And the only way we can do it is if we rent out the public premises. Will you agree? And the superintendent, for a dollar or two, he will be delighted to go and rent out the public premises to you, even though it doesn't belong to him. But he's the Schiro Lekitoi. And that's enough. And the Gemara says now that this Jew who has borrowed from the Goy this small area of his property to be able to put something down, he becomes like Schiro Lekitoi. Now, we don't mean that literally, because he's not an employee. He does not work for the Goy. But what the Gemara means to say is, just like the Schiro Lekitoi is considered to be like part of the household of the Goy, and therefore when you want to do Schiris Rishus on Erev Shabbos, and the Goy is not home, but his maid or his butler is home, you could do Schiris Rishus from them. You could do not Schiris Rishus, you don't even need Schiris Rishus. You can now look upon this Jew as being part of the household of the Goy, since the Goy has allowed him to use part of his property. He becomes like Schiro Lekitoi. When you have a bona fide Jewish employee working for a guy, then you don't need the Schiris Rishus from the guy, but rather you say to the Jew, oh, you have to be the part of the household of this guy. We want you to participate in the Erev. And if he participates, we're done. So if Haman, back on Samach Gimel Amid Beis, if he would have had a Jewish employee, we wouldn't have all of this problem. We'd go over to the Jew and say, can you do us a favor? Give us two bulkaluch, participate in the Erev, we'll all be able to go and carry. You'll be able to carry, we'll be able to carry. However, in this case, we don't have a Jewish employee of Haman, but we've had someone who befriended Haman, and he allowed him to go and put something on his property. That's like Sechir L'Kitoy. He can contribute towards the Erev, and that will be the Eitzah Taifa. So now I have both Abaye's proposal and Rava's proposal. Now Abaye asks Rav Yosef, I just heard what Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel said, that if you have a Sechir L'Kitoy, a Jewish employee of the guy, he can contribute towards the Erev. What about Hoyusham Chamisha Schirai? The Chamisha Lekitai Mahu? What happens if the Goy had 5 or 10 Schirais Ulekitais? In other words, a bunch of employees. If you're telling me that when there's one, he can contribute towards the Erev, now that there are 5 or more, do they also all have to contribute towards the Erev? Do I need all 5? Each one has to participate? Or since they're all from the same household of the guy, we only need 1 Erev participation, we don't need 5. Amalei, Rav Yosef told him, the whole din of Schiru Lekitoy itself is a big kula, that you don't have to come on to the owner, you can go and deal with the employee. Amalei, em amru Schiru Lekitoy lehakil, yomru Schiru Lekitoy lehachmer. They agreed to Schiru Lekitoy lehakil. What means lehakel, like we just said now, that even though Haman is not willing to rent out his rishus, however, his Schir Lekitoy can participate in the Erev, that's a big kula, because the owner is not maskim, but it's okay, the Schir Lekitoy is maskim, that's fine. But now you want to go one step further and say that the din of Schir Lekitoy should require every one of the sachirs, or every one of the lokits, to go and participate in the Erev. That, of course, would be a chumrah. That's not necessary. You only need 1. You don't need all 5. So, Dimar, Gufa, Omer Vidam Shmuel, Afil Eschira, Afil Kitoy, Noisin Eruv, Vidai, you only need 1 to participate, and that is enough. So the Gemara tells us, Omer Rav Nachman, Kama Ma'al Yehoshmaitz, Rav Nachman was very impressed with this halacha of Rav Yehuda Mishmuel. He said, this is givaldik. I know so many cases, says Rav Nachman, where the Jews are having problems with their local guy, and this is a great, good eitzah, good proposal to be able to get out of that issue. Go and have a Jewish Schir Lekitoy, and he'll give a Ruvoy V'daya. That Kamam Aliyah, this is beautiful. Now the same Omer Vira Meshmul said an unrelated halacha, Shoser V'yis Yayin Al Yoyre. If you happen to be a Rav that paskins Shilas, and you just drank a revius of wine at Kiddush, Al Yoyra, then when a person comes to you and asks you a shayla, don't paskin, because you might be under the influence. Just like you cannot drive when you're under the influence, you cannot paskin shaylas when you're under the influence. So Omer Rav Nachman, the same Rav Nachman said, Loi ma'al yehoshmait, the previous halacha of Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, Gabi Schir Lekitoy, is givaldic, I love it. But this halach of Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, loy ma'aliyah, in Yiddish they say, segefelt manisht. I don't like this halacha. Why don't I like this halacha? Says Rav Nachman, after all, I'm on the firing line all the time. I'm a posek, to anokol kamadli shesiner v'yosu dechamra, when I didn't drink a little bit of alcohol, by drinking some wine, loitzila datoi, my mind is not sharp, is not clear. To clear out my mind in the morning, I always need a little bit of a shot. I have to go and take a glass, a revius of wine. Without that, I'm out of it. I can't even concentrate. So it's just the opposite. To be able to paskin, I need to drink that revius of yayin. The Gemara is not quarreling now with Rav Nachman, with regard to the substance of what he said, that he needs that revius yayin to be able to paskin. Rather, Rava was very troubled that Rav Nachman spoke somewhat disparagingly of the halacha of Yehuda Meshmuel, and he said, "Loi ma'al yehoshmaitza, I don't like that." Rav Nachman could have said, you know, I disagree. Rav Nachman was a great Amora, and he can disagree with Shmuel. He doesn't have to agree. But to go and say, I don't like that shtickel Torah, it's not nice, right? The Rav just finished giving a drush or a shir, and the drush or the shir is over and said, I didn't like that drush. I didn't like that shir. You know, it was tasteless. It was no good. I disagree. Says Omer Rava, my time Omer Marhochi. How could you say something like that? Omer of Acha Bar Chanina, my dechsev veroye zoynois yoivad hoin, yoivad or yaved, which they too, yaved hoin. Parshat Pshat roye zoynois, a person who's shepherding zoynois, yaved hoin is going to lose a lot. Our Gemara Darshan says nothing having to do with zoynois, but rather that the word zoynois should be split into two words. Rashi says, Zoinois, Zoinoe. This shtickel Torah is good. And of course, the reverse is that this shtickel Torah is not good. So someone who is going to deal with shtickel Torah and say, this is good and this is not good, then chas v'sholem ma'abed hoineshul Torah. Rashi says, hoineshul Torah means the kovod ha-Torah. That if he is going to go and say about certain drushes, certain shiurim, certain halachas, yeah, this one is good, but this one, eh, I can do without that one. That doesn't appeal to me. It's tasteless. Nah, it's no good. Then Chas v'Sholem, he is being mevazeh the Torah. He is going to lose the kavod haTorah. And Rashi says, v'soifel hishtakach mimenu, because he's not mechabed the Torah properly, he's going to lose his learning. He's going to forget his learning. So therefore, Rav is being highly critical of Rav Nachman for saying on halacha number two that loy ma'ali hashmaitza, I don't like that shtickel Torah. When Rav Nachman heard these divrei musar and his odorus of Rava, he said, "Hadri be, you know what? I changed my mind, and as we say in English, I won't do it again." Rashi says, "Lo oisif oid." That's the last time I'm going to go and say something disparaging about somebody else's halacha or shir. I may disagree, and I say, "No, I respectfully disagree." But you do it with respect. And not just go and say, "Nah, I don't like that dvar halacha. It doesn't make sense." That's not a nice way to talk. Okay, now since we got involved in this shoser revias yayin, the Gemara is going to now speak about this at a little bit more at length, and we're going to go meinyan leinyan baosa inyan, like the Gemara says, "Omer Rabba Bar Rav Huna shosui, a person who's drunk wine, al yispalel, he should not daven." But if he did daven, tfilosi tfila b'dieved, the tfila is a good tfila. He doesn't have to repeat the davening. A shiker, on the other hand, someone who's drunk, not someone who drank wine, but someone who's drunk, al yispal, he's not allowed to daven. V'im hispal, if he did daven, tfilosi t'eva, the tfila is considered to be an abomination. How do you go and approach a Kodesh Baruch Hu when the person is drunk and he can hardly stand, he's teetering, he's about to fall down? Now, the question is, what's the difference between a shosui and a shikr? Well, we all can understand that if you only take one schnapps glazel, that's one thing, and if you drink a whole 7 ounces of schnapps or of wine or something, that's something else. But the Gemara wants to know, how do you define shosui, how do you define shikr? Heichidami shosui, heichidami shikr. So, Gemara, ki hodrim abu bar shumni, v'rab menashe bar yirmiya migifti, or the side it says midifti, these two great giants, Rabbi Abba Bar Shimni and Rabbi Menashe Bar Yirmi Megifti, they were both saying farewell to one another on the Mebra. Mebra sometimes means ferry, and sometimes means the bridge. The Nahar Yufti, on the Yufti River. So somebody is leaving, or both of them are leaving, they're both going to travel, and they are about to part and say farewell to one another. And we know that parting is such sweet sorrow. So the Gemara says, Omru, they said, Kol cham minon leim milta d'leishmiya lechavrei. Each one of us should say some chidush to the other. Why should we say a chidush when we're leaving? The Omer Mori bar Rav Huna lo yifter odom echaveiroi elu mitoich dvar halacha. When a person is saying goodbye to his chaver, he should do it by telling him a dvar halacha. As a result, he will remember. What will he remember? is a machloikas hamafarshim, whether as a result he will remember his chaver, because he remembers that at the final minute when he was saying goodbye, it was tearful, and he was saying, "Ay, ay, ay, we spent the whole yontif together, how beautiful, how nice, and now we have to part ways. And I remember my chaver so well. I remember when we were leaving, he told me a gavaldige chiddush, which I'm happy to repeat." So some say zoicher means he'll remember his chaver, while others say zoicher means he'll remember the Dvar Torah, because it's such a unique time when they're parting, it's such a eis rotzoin, if you will. He tells him this Dvar Torah, he'll remember this Dvar Torah for many years. Okay, so they said, good idea, let everybody share a Dvar Torah with the other. Pasachad v'yomar, one of them said to the other, Heichidom ishosui veheichidom ishikr. Oh, we just asked that question. Ishosui, if he davened b'dieved, tfilosi tfilah. A shikr, if he davened b'dieved, his tfilah is a te'eva. Heichidami, zokti yomar, ishosui kol shiyochel adab lefnei ha'melech. Ishosui means he taka drank, however he's still able to go and stand firm and tall and speak to the melech without slurring and without collapsing. Shikr kosheni yochel adab lefnei ha'melech. The shikr is so drunk, if he wants to say hello to the melech, he can't speak to him because he's going to slur his words and he's going to say ridiculous things because his mind is not with him since he is drunk. Okay, so that's the difference between shosi and shikr. So we've answered the question. However, we haven't finished the story. The second one of these two amiroim wants to now ulta de advar toira. Pasach idach v'yomar ha-machzik b'nichsi ager. A person who was machzik b'nichsi ager, we're talking about a ger, that Chas V'Shalom passed away, left no yorshim, he was not married, or he was married, he had no children, he has no wife, whatever, he's the only guy in town. So then the halacha is, anybody can go and be machzik, can go and jump on his nechosim and acquire them, because never the ger passed away and there are no yorshim. Now, if a person were to do that, then says Rashi, there's going to be an ayin hara. What's the reason why ayin hara? Because people are going to be very jealous. And they're going to say, did you hear what happened to Yankel? Yankel went and jumped on the Nichsi Ager, and overnight he became a millionaire. Wow! Wow, I'm so jealous. And even if he doesn't say I'm jealous. But yes, he's going to look at him with kind of jaundiced eyes and say, you know, why did Yankel get that fortune? Why didn't I get that fortune? So what does a person need to do to kind of ward off this ayin hara that people are saying? Best thing is yikach behen sefer Torah. He should use some of the funds, not necessarily all of the funds, but use some of the funds to go and buy a sefer Torah. What's the reason for that? Says Rashi, because by buying the sefer Torah, he's using some of the funds for a dvar mitzvah, and that dvar mitzvah will hopefully be megen on him, will protect him from the evil chatter or the evil eye that people are looking at him or saying about him. And in fact, says the Gemara, this is not only the rare case of Nechsi Ager, but you can apply this in more frequent cases, such as Omer of Sheshes, Afilu Baal B'Nechsi Ishtar. What happens if, Chas V'Shalom, a wife passes away, and the wife was from a very, very wealthy family, and now the husband yarshened her Yerusha, or yarshened her estate, now all of a sudden he becomes wealthy. And people say to themselves, Yankel, he never made a penny in his life. He was such a Nebuchadnezzar. Every business that he went to always fell flat. They say about the Evan Ezra writes in the Hakdamah to his Pirish on Chumash, Evan Ezra says that anything and everything that I put my hand to do business, unfortunately I failed. And in fact, said the Evan Ezra, if I would go into the Tachrichim business, people would stop dying. That's how bad my mazel was when I was in business. And therefore the Gemara is saying is, what happens if you have a person who Nebuch was a shlemazel shlemiel, he was never able to make a dime in his life, but he was fortunate enough to go marry a wealthy lady, and now Nebuch the lady passed away, and now he gets his big Yerusha. Once again, people will look at him and there'll be Chas V'Shalom an ayin hara. Go and use some of the money to buy a sefer Torah. Rav Amar Afilu Ovad Iska V'Ravach. What happens if this person, Baruch Hashem, did a good business deal and he was Kneinor, very successful. And again, people are saying, pshh, Yankel, does he think he's any smarter than me? He was the lowest in his class. In law school, out of 80 Talmidim, he was among the top 80, meaning he was the last of his class. That's how smart he was. And therefore, this guy, you just had mazel. No, how come I don't have the same mazel? But once again, ayin hara, and therefore the person should use some of the funds to buy a sefer Torah. Rapapa amar afilu matzah metzia. Person's walking down the street in a place where they're only Gentiles, so there's no din of having to go and return any metzias, any avedos, and it turns out he finds $1 million, or he finds a gold watch, or whatever he finds. And again, people look at him, ayin hara, well, why are you zocha? How come I never found a metzia like that? So in all of those cases, says the Gemara, go and invest some of the funds in a sefer Torah. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, fill a cost of boot filling. You don't need to go and spend so much money. As you know, writing or buying a sefer Torah is very expensive. You can go and use some of the funds to go and buy a pair of tefillin. That's also a dvar mitzvah, choshev dvar mitzvah, and that will also be megan. V'yom Rav Chanan v'yisem Rav Chanina Maikra. What's the makoyer for all of this business that if you go and somehow give some of your money for a dvar mitzvah, that's going to be megan? Tchsev, it says in the pasuk, v'yidei Yisrael neder leimar. Now this is a pasuk towards the end of Bamidbar in the Matas Masay region, and there it says that Klal Yisrael was supposed to go and fight a mulchama against one of the enemies, and it says in the pasuk, v'yidei Yisrael neder l'Hashem. Vayoymar, Klal Yisrael made a neder, and they said, Imnasoin titeinis ha'om hazeh biyadi. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the koyach to go and vanquish and to conquer that enemy, vachramti es oreyem. Rashi says, vachramti is a loshen hegdish, that I'm going to be makdish a large portion of whatever we gain, the booty, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, so you see from that, that if you go and take part of your spoils, part of your booty, and you go and you're makdish it to Hashem, like buying a sefer Torah, writing a pair of tefillin, another dvar mitzvah, then that is going to be megan, and that's going to help. And with this, we've concluded this shtickle. We got off a little bit on a tangent. The reason why we brought this is because we started off that Rav Nachman said he needed to drink a little bit to be able to paskin correctly, and then Rava gave him a telling off. And then since we spoke about drinking, we said that there's a difference between shosui and shikr when it comes to davening. And then the Gemara asks, what's the difference between the two? And then the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you a story about these two travelers that said, let's go and al yiftar el mitoch dvar alocha. So the first one said, what's the difference between a shosi and a shikr? This one can stand b'fnei melech, this one cannot stand b'fnei melech. And then the second one said that if you have been very fortunate and you have amassed wealth that may cause other people to be jealous and look at you with an eye in hara, use a portion of it for a dvar mitzvah, and that will be megan. So let's get back now to our question about drinking. So Omar Rami Bar Abba. We're going to have Rami Bar Abba later down on the Omid. So remember, Rami Bar Abba says, even if a person has drunk, for instance, he drank that Revius Yayin that we had on the Omid Aleph, where Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel paskind al Yora, don't paskin. Says Rami Bar Abba, Derech Mil, Veshina Kolshu, Mefiginus Ayayin. What happens? You want to be able to paskin a Shaila, and you are under the influence, you drank a Revius of Yayin. So Derech Mil, walk approximately a mil. Mil is 2,000 Amis, which is approximately 4,000 feet. Walk, 10, 12, 15 blocks. Or Shina Kolshu, or go to sleep for 5, 10 minutes, and that Mefiginus Ayayin, that will take away the ill effects of the wine, and that's going to do a great job. Omer Nachman, Omer Rabba Bravua, lo yishonu that we said in the Omer Aleph, that you can drink, if you drink wine, you become a little bit shikr. And now you need the derech mil v'shina to be mefig es hayayin. Lo yishonu l'shishosik dey refiyas et tafk, if he drank only one revius. Av v'shosi yos revius, what happens if he drank more than a revius? If you're going to tell me that the person is going to walk the derech mil, instead of that curing him from the wine, from the effects of the wine, it's just going to compound the problem, because he's going to be so weary, so tired. He had to go with, number one, he drank so much, more than Rav Yitz, and now he's never schlepping for the last 15 blocks, and he's all shikert, and it's just going to make it worse, it's not going to make it better. And Mishina Mikshakrasai, if he drank more than Rav Yitz and he goes to sleep, he might sleep now for the next 6 hours, because he's just in a stupor. So that you can do the Derech Mil Vishina Kolshu is only if it's a Rav Yitz, not if it's more than Rav Yitz. Zokti Yimara. V'derech Mil Mefiga Hayayin. Rami Bar Abba said that if you walk a Derech Mil, that takes away the effect of wine. V'tan you have a braisa. Ma'isib Ram Gamliel Sheyeroichiv Ala Chamohar. We have Ram Gamliel. He's riding on the back of a donkey. V'yimahalach Mi'akoy L'Kziv. And they were traveling from the town of Akoy to the town of Kziv. V'yirabi Loi Mahalach Achrav. And Rabbi Loi was following in the next chamor behind him. There was a motorcade of chamorim. Rabbi Gamliel was one in the front, and Rabbi Loi was in back of him. As they are traveling, Rabbi Gamliel notices on the floor, Motzah gluskin baderech. Now we know that the word gluskin means either a roll or a nice Danish. We have this in the Gemara Masechtas Psachim, that's the next Masechta after Erevin, where it says that the reason why you have to do a bedika on Erev Yontif, and not just say, Kol chamira v'chamia, I mevatel everything ka'afra di ara, because maybe during Yontif, Shema Yimtza, Kluska Yofa. Whilst he's walking around at home, he might find a delicious Danish hidden away somewhere, and he's going to say, that looks delicious! And he's going to forget that it's Pesach, and Chas HaShom, he's going to be oiker. So we see that the word Gluska means some delicious pastry, whether it's bread, a roll, a Danish, whatever. He saw that baderach. Omaloi, so Rav Gamliel calls to Rabbi Loi, who is riding in back of him, and he says, Eloi, tul gluskin min aderach. Please, get off the chamar, pick up the gluskin, and hold on to it. Don't leave it on the floor. Motze nochri echad, subsequently, as they continue traveling, Rav Gamliel comes across a nochri. As Omaloi, so Rav Gamliel says to the guy, Mavgoi, he called him Mavgoi. That was his name, like saying John or Willie. He called him Mavgoi. Tol gluskin halol meiloi. You see the person in back of me? That's Rabbi Eloi. Please get the gluskin for him and take it for yourself. So now, after that transpired, Rabbi Eloi was curious. Who is this Mavgoi goy? Nitpaloi Rabbi Eloi. So Rabbi Eloi went over to the goy and he asked him, Omaloi Meheichanata, where do you come from? Omaloi Mi Ayore Shel Borgenin. I come from the towns of Borgenin. Umashimcha, what's your name? Mavgoi Shimani. My name is Mavgoi. Then he said, Klum Hekirach, Rav Gamliel Mi Oilam. Did you ever meet Rav Gamliel until now? Does he recognize you? Do you know who this rabbi is? Omaloi Lav, I never met him. Ba'isa Shola Manu, from that moment in time we learn. Shekibin Ram Gamliel Baruach HaKoydish. How did Ram Gamliel know his name is Mavgoi? Now Mavgoi is not a common name. When's the last time you had a friend, Jew or Gentile, called Mavgoi? Never. So therefore, presumably this was an unusual name, and yet Ram Gamliel called him by the name Mavgoi. How did he know his name was Mavgoi? It's a chassim that Ram Gamliel had Ruach HaKoydish. Ushloishin Tavarim Lamandu Bi Oisisha. We ought to learn not only about Ram Gamliel's great heights in terms of being a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, but we also learn three halachas. What three halachas do we learn? Number one, Lamanu She'im Mavin Ala Ochlin. When you're walking down the street and you see food on the ground, you should not just pass by the food. You should pick it up. Whether the food is the type of food that you're going to take home or whether you're going to go and toss it in the trash basket, but don't leave it on the floor, because that's what we call bizoyon oichlin. Now, the question is, okay, it's true that the oichlin nebuch is lying there bizoyon, but the oichlin, after all, has no chius. It is not alive. It's an inanimate piece of bread or an inanimate piece of food. It doesn't know what's going on. What's the problem of leaving it there bizoyon? Says the Michtam Eliyahu from Reb Leo Dessler that the problem is twofold. Number one, you have to go and show Hakoras HaToyif to food and to the one that created the food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created food so that people should be able to go and live. By not giving the food proper respect, by having it lie there in the street, it's as if you say, "Yeah, food, shmood, who cares, it's not important to me." What do you mean it's not important to you? If you don't have food, chalila, you can't live. And therefore, it's a form of showing you HaKadosh HaToyif to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, thank you for giving me the food. I won't let your food just lie there out in the open and chas v'sholom be bizayin. But number two, it also wants to teach you how to refine your midos. That madach, you have to be concerned about the bizayin of an inanimate object. Then you certainly have to be careful about the bizayin of a fellow Jew, or for that matter, even a fellow Gentile. Because after all, they have feelings. That gluskin on the floor doesn't have any feelings, but you still got to be careful about its feelings. Here too, when you see another person, you have to certainly worry about that person's feelings, because that person has feelings, and therefore make sure not to be mevaseh. So I once heard a shiur from Rabbi Herschel Schachter, the Rosh Hashiva at YU, and he was saying, as you know, it says that on Shabbos, when you're making Kiddush, you're supposed to cover over the chalas with a chaladekel. And what's the reason why you have to go and cover it over? Say Kiddush even if the chalas are not covered. And a number of reasons are given. One of the reasons is the mon, that the mon covered was covered by tal on top and tal on the bottom. But another reason that's given is because you don't want to be mevaza the chalas. Because chalas, you could make Kiddush on chala if you don't have wine. And by ignoring the challah and say, no, I'm not going to make Kiddush on you, I'm going to make Kiddush on the wine, you might hear the challahs begin to whine. Or even if they don't begin to whine, the point is that they're going to be mavuza, they're going to be shamed by you not picking them, but picking the wine. So I once heard Reb Herschel Schachter say, come on, what's the last time that you heard the challahs complain about anything? If in fact the chalas were to complain about the fact that you are making a bruch on the wine, then you'd have to be very nervous about these chalas. How can the chalas speak? And how can... the thing sounds so far-fetched. So said Rabbi Herschel Schachter, what's Chazal teaching us? It's teaching us midos. It's telling us, madach, you have to worry about the feelings of an inanimate chala that doesn't have feelings. Certainly how careful you have to be about your fellow Jew or a fellow person, about their feelings, not to chas v'sholom go and upset them. So then I repeated this Shtikl Torah to Rabbi Waxman, not the famous Rabbi Ephraim Waxman, Rabbi Waxman, the father-in-law of Ding, Rabbi Nachman Golding on the west side, and he said, it's a beautiful drasha, but the truth of the matter is it's a Rashi in Chumash. What's Rashi say in Chumash? It says at the end of Parshas Yisro, I believe, that when you go to the Mizbeach, don't make steps, make a ramp. Why? Because the Kahanim, if they're going to walk up the steps, as a result of their gait, walking from step to step, there'd be, quote-unquote, Gilui Erva. Rashi says, there's no real Gilui Erva, because the Kahanim all wore Michnasayim. And therefore, in truth, it was none. Oh, but nevertheless, it's ke'en gili erva, the fact that you have to spread your legs while you're walking up towards the Mizbeach, it's not derech eretz. And then Rashi explains once again, what's the problem? Who's going to be embarrassed? The Mizbeach is going to be embarrassed because of this quasi gili erva. Does the Mizbeach have feelings? Says Rashi, lindachotayra derech eretz. Madach mizbeach, which is just made out of eitzim v'avonim or whatever inanimate objects, you have to be concerned about the mizbeach's feelings. Alach haskam v'kamo, how much you have to worry about a person's feelings. So therefore, using that and understanding our Gemara, the Gemara is saying is, even though the oichel has no feelings whatsoever, the oichel has no idea what's going on, the fact that it's lying on the street. Nevertheless, pick up the oichlin, don't be maver al oichlin. So that's halacha number one. Halacha number two, that you go after roiv. Now, what does that mean over here? Notice that Ram Gamliel told Rabbi Loi, pick up the food, but he didn't say, Rabbi Loi, we're going to eat this food at the next meal. As soon as he saw a goy, mavgoy, he said, give the oichel to the mavgoy, to the goy. Why is that? Because Ram Gamliel was choshesh that this food was not kosher. Now, why shouldn't it be kosher? Says the Gemara, because roiv oibidrachim, most of the travelers on that road were non-Jews. And therefore, the assumption is that the food is not kosher. But now the question is, what's the big chiddush? We're teaching you, oh, shloish dvarim lamanu. Don't we always know you go bus a roiv? What's the chiddush? So one of the achronim says, it must be that the closest town was a Jewish town, a Jewish settlement. And then we have the Shaila Masechtas Chulin, where you have roiv v'karoiv. Do you go bus a roiv? Do you go bus a karoiv? Therefore, our Gemara is telling you is, even though the next town, which is only Echweis, 100 amos away, or whatever, most of the people in that town were Jewish, but since most of the people traveling on this road are Goyim, you have to be Choshesh L'Roiv, and therefore, Eloi, you don't eat it, rather give it to Mavgoy to eat. V'lamanu, in number three we learned, Shechem Tishonochi Achra Pesach Mutar Banor. We didn't know that this is taking place after Pesach, but now the Gemara is telling us that this story happened after Pesach, and this was chometz that belonged to the goy. We're assuming it belonged to a goy, and you allow to go and have hanoah from that chometz. What does the Gemara mean? You allowed to have hanoah because Rabbi Loi is allowed to give it to Mavgoy. Now Mavgoy is going to eat it, not Rabbi Loi. But anytime you go and do a favor for someone, then the expectation is that eventually you'll have a toivas hanoah from that person. If Rabbi Loi will afterwards have to get a favor, he's going to call up Mavgoy and he's going to say, Mavgoy, remember a week ago I gave you that delicious gluskin? Well, I could use a favor now. What's a favor? Could you speak to XYZ to make a connection for a business deal? Blah, 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 blah. So you see that you're allowed to have hanoah from the chometz of a goy, achar Pesach, because otherwise Ram Gamliel would have told him, as soon as we find the first trash bin, just go and toss the gluskin there and don't leave it out on the street. Okay, so far a fascinating story. How did we get into this story in the first place? We got into this story because the Gemara said that Derech Mil is Mefiga Es Hayayin. Okay, so we still haven't addressed that yet. So let's continue on. Again, Ram Gamliel is traveling from Akoy to Ksiv. And now, Baruch Hashem, Kimin Shigia the Ksiv, we've now reached Ksiv. Bo'echad Lishol Al Nidroi. A person came saying to Ram Gamliel, oh, I'm so happy to see you. I made a neder yesterday, and I want to be shoyl on my neder. Are you available? So Ram Gamliel said to the one that was together with him, perhaps Rabbi Loi or someone else, Klum Shasino Revias Yainu Italki, before we went on the trip or during the trip, we drank some wine. And the wine was Yain Italki. Let me ask you, did we drink a Revias? Omaloi Hen. Yes, we did drink a Revias. He said, Imkain, if that's the case, Yitail Acharenu, Achiyofik Yeninu. Let this fellow who wants to be shoyl on the neder, let him travel together with us until the effect of that wine wears off. The Tail Acharein, Gimel Milin, and they went not 1 mil, but 3 milin. Achiyel is Sumushal Tzur until they came to Sumushal Tzur. Kimin Shigiel is Sumushal Tzur. As soon as they got there, Yoram Gamliel Menachamar, Ram Gamliel got off the donkey. And he sat down on a chair and he said to that fellow, tell me what the neder is all about. And the Italy Nidrei, and he was Matir Neder. And that's the end of the story. And now the Gemara again derives from this a number of halachas. Number one, if you drink a revias of wine of Italki, it's Meshaker, it causes you to be a little tipsy. And therefore, Ram Gamliel felt, if I'm a shikr, we learned on the Omer Aleph, Omer Yehud, Omer Shmuel, if you drank a revias yayin al yayin, don't paskin shilas. That if you travel, that has the effect of eventually dissipating the effect of the wine. And we also see by the fact that Rav Gamliel didn't just sit on the chamar, but when he came to Sulma Shel Tzur and the ill effects of the alcohol had finally left, he says, I'm not paskining on, or I'm not going to be matar neder on the back of a chamar. He got down and he sat down on a chair. So you see, she'im mefir nedarim, v'loi rochav, v'loi mahalich, v'loi oimer eli oishit. And that's, again, not only the end of the story, but the musar, the moral of the story, the halachas that we learned from the story. Why did we bring this story? Ketani mias, we see that when did Rav Gamliel finally feel that the effect of the wine had finally worn off? After shloisha milin. Didn't you say at the top of the yomid, Rami Barabba said, derech mil mefigin asayayin, you only need 1 mil. And Rav Gamliel said, I need 3 milin, because he was not willing to go and be mataneder until 3 milin passed. Says the Gemara, this is nishver, shani yayin otalkin mishaker tvei. Just like we said on the Omer Aleph, that up to a revias is shosui, but more than that is already much worse, and therefore al yayra, because that can make the person really shikr. Yayin italki, even though it was only a revias, it's shtark mishaker, it causes the person to be shikr. In other words, it was very, very potent, very strong wine. Frank Tumov Amrav Nachman Omer Rabba Baravu Aleishon Aleishishos Revias Av Shosu Yosem Revias Kol Shkein Chederech Toir Dosoi Vishina Mishakrosoi. If you're telling me, Taka, that if you drink more than a revias, it's much worse, and instead of the derech mil being meifig yisayayin, rather it's toreid, it causes the person to be even more weary and more worn out because of the fact that he drank so much and now he's walking so much and therefore he's totally berserk, totally drunk. So how did it help that he went and continued traveling? After all, with all the travel, it only makes it worse, it doesn't make it better. Everything Gemara Rochav Shaini. It's one thing if you're walking. It's another thing if you are riding. Because when you're walking and you drank more than a revias, that in fact can be tardosai. You're so worn out, you drank too much, and you've been walking and walking and walking, you're saying, when will I be able to sit down? I am so worn out, I'm so tired, I'm exhausted. So then it's talking, not going to be made figasayai. But if you're riding on a chariot, you're riding the back of a horse, the back of a donkey, so then that's relatively easy. You don't do anything. You're just a shev v'altaisa, literally a shev v'altaisa. So therefore, you don't say that the derech tardase. It says Gemara, no hash da'asas l'achi. Once you've come on to this, the Rami Barabba nami loy kasha. We asked before that Rami Barabba said that derech mil meifigin asayayim. And we said that this Rav Gamliel required 3 mil to be made for kesayayin, and not derech mil. And the Gemara gave a teretz, because it's talking about very strong Italian wine, yayin italki. Says Gemara, no, let's talk about regular wine. Regular wine. When do you say derech mil made for kesayayin? That's when you're walking. But if you're roichiv ala chamar, you're not doing anything, so therefore the yayin's effect remains with you because you haven't done anything counter to the effect of the wine. You're just sitting inanimately on the back of a donkey. So rochav shaini, then you don't say that the derech mil is meifikas a yayin, and that's why you need 3 mil until finally the effect of the alcohol wore off. Okay, so we've taken care of the alcohol, we've taken care of the wine, but let's now address other shaylas. And now the next shaila we're going to address is about this mefir in the dark. Frey Tiyamari, you told me that Rav Gamliel had to come off the donkey because he can't be mefir neither on the back of a donkey. Omer Rav Nachman, mefir in the dark, bein mahalach, bein oimid, bein rochav. And you said that according to Rav Gamliel, no, you got to come down, you have to be yoishev. What's going on? Every more tanoi, it's a machlokes tanoi. The ikalaman diyama poischin becharata, the ikalaman diyama ain poischin becharata. There's a machloikis whether when you are going in the matir neder, do you have to find a Pesach charata? Pesach charata means that you ask the individual, had you known X, Y, and Z, would you have made the neder? No, if I would have known, never. So that's Pesach b'charata, and then you can be matir neder. So there's a machloikis whether you have to be Pesach b'charata or not. So Rashi says, Rav Gamliel felt, you do have to be Pesach b'charata. So therefore, it's not enough that you just hear the neder and say, okay, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. If that's all you had to do, listen to the neder and say mutalach, you could be riding in the back of a chamar. However, if you want to be paseach b'charata, that requires yeshiva das. It requires you to go and think and focus on the issues and try to figure out some justification to be able to go and annul the vow, to annul the neder. That's what Rabbi Gamliel held, and Rabbi Gamliel says, I can't have yeshiva das if I'm back of a donkey, because the donkey is constantly moving back and forth and neighing and braying and coming and going. I got to sit down on a chair and have a chance to have a little yeshiva das. Now, how do we know that that's what Rabbi Gamliel felt? Yom Rav Bar Bchana, Rabbi Yochanan, my Pesach Leir, Rabbi Gamliel, who Gavra, Taka, what was the Pesach? So this is a universal Pesach. Normally the Pesach is, you ask the person, why did you accept this neder upon yourself? Well, I thought I could manage it, and I realized that I cannot manage it, and that's why I'm asking you to go mimat the neder. Rabbi Gamliel gave kind of a universal one. It says in the Pesach, Yesh boite kimat kareis chorev, v'loshen chachamim marpe. And the Gemara is dashing the word boite as a Lashon bitui. As you know, we have in the Torah, shvuas bitui. And therefore, the way Rav Gamliel is interpreting this pasuk, kol boite, whoever makes random shvuas and nidorim, ro'oi ledoikre b'cherev. This person, since there's a great likelihood that when you make a pledge, you make a neder, that you might not fulfill that pledge or your neder, then chas v'sholom, if he's made a neder in vain, he's worthy that chas v'sholom he should be stabbed by a sword. Obviously, that doesn't mean it literally. It just means he did a terrible thing. Don't make nedarim. Stay away from nedarim because there's such a good chance that chas v'sholom you're not going to be able to fulfill your neder. Ella, but the good news is shaloshim chachamim marpe, that the chachamim have an antidote. What's the antidote of the hatoris nedarim? They could be matir and they'll be marpe, that will be a refuah. So therefore, that's what Rav Gamliel said to that fellow. Did you know that it says in the pasuk Yeshvoite Kemat Kerois Chorev, that a person who makes a shvua or a neder and he cannot be makayim in Chas Hashem Roy L'doiker B'cherev? And of course the person said, "Hoi, I didn't know that. Chuli L'chas V'sholem." Once he had a Paseh Charata, L'shloshen Chachom Marpe, he was able to go and be matir neder. Let's go back to the din of being mavra al ochlin. Omer mar, ve'im mavin al ochlin. Omer b'yoich m'shem r'pshim b'nichoy, l'yishon al adoyus v'yishon. That only applied in those days, in the times of Gamliel. She'im b'noyis iso perutzais b'kshofim. That the women were not porutz when it came to kishuf. Abadoyus achronim in later generations, b'noyis iso perutzais b'kshofim, mavirin. You never know, this piece of food that you're finding on the ground, maybe it was touched. Now we don't mean touched by fingers, I mean touched by kishuf. There's chas v'sholom some sort of black magic or sorcery on this food item, and therefore stay away, don't pick it up, because if you pick it up, chas v'sholom, who knows, the kishuf could go on the person. So b'nai yisro prutzis b'kshofim mavir. Now when it says in the Gemara b'nai yisro prutzis b'kshofim, we don't mean dafke b'nai yisro, because one of the Mefarshim points out that Rabbi Yochanan is saying about the story that we just learned, that Rabbi Gamliel said, "Ein mavina la'achlan." That's why he had Rabbi Loi pick it up. There was no problem Bnei Yisrael being part of Bikshafim. What are you talking about Bnei Yisrael? We said that the reason why Rabbi Loi couldn't eat it is because Roiv Ivri Drachim were Akon. So there's no Bnei Yisrael involved over here that we should say your part is Bikshafim, this part is Bikshafim. We're talking about that the Gluskin said Rav Gamliel probably belongs to a guy, so I don't have to worry about Kishim in the first place. It says one of the Mefarshim that you have to add a word. Sh'afilu b'nois Yisrael are not parts b'kshofim. Or b'doris achroinim, that even the b'nois Yisrael are also parts b'kshofim. But kolshkein alachas kam v'kama, the non-Jewish women, of course they are parts b'kshofim. But not only the non-Jews, but even the Jewish women. So the Mavirin, then you're allowed to pass by and don't pick it up. Tana, we learned that the price is Shleim in Mavirin. If you find a full roll, a full loaf of bread, a full Danish, whatever, Mavirin, then you should pass by, because then they might have put their kishuf on it. However, Psisim, if you only find pieces of bread, in other words, crumbs, so to speak, ain't Mavirin, because the Kisha people don't bother doing sorcery with just psisim, with just shtiklach. So Omli Ravasa Ravashi, va psisim lo yavda. Is that true? I have a pasuk that says differently. Voksiv. This is a pasuk in Yecheskel. But chalena oisi, you machalul me, el ami, b'shalei sa'oirim, u'bipsoisei lechem. Psoisei lechem means with psisim. Lohomis nefoshis asheloi simun sana, etc. This is talking about Musar that's being given to Yechocha, being given to people that are Kishav Machiz, Machshefois, and Machashvim, and we're telling them, you are Mechalmi by putting on your spell on Psusei Lechem. Psusei Lechem means crumbs. You just told me that they don't do Kishav with crumbs. They only do Kishav with Shleimim. Evdimor the Shakli v'agrayu. Avada the Kishav they only do on a Dovra Sholem. But the payment for doing the kishif is, they go and pay them psisim. In other words, if I want someone to cast a spell on something or other, I go over to that person, I say, please cast a spell. Nu, how much are you going to pay me? I give you half a piece of bread. Okay, that's enough. So that's psusei lechem, not that they put the spell in psusei lechem, but that was the payment with the psusei lechem. We could finish here, but we might as well go to the two dots another few lines, especially because Barry told us earlier that we may need to go and fill a shir for Shabbos because we don't have one from the last machzor. So let's fill another few lines. Amar Rav Sheshi Mishum Rav Loza ben Azaria. Yochel and Yiliftar is called Oilam Kulay Min Hadin Miyem Shechor Beis Amidish Viat Achshav. On the surface, this is a very, very powerful defense for Klal Yisrael. Says Rav Sheshi, the name of Rav Loza ben Azaria. If Chas Yisholem Klal Yisrael did something wrong, they sinned, I could be the defense attorney and I have a good defense for all Jews from the times of Churban Beis Hamikdash until today, any sin that they did. How? Shenemar, because it's in the Pasuk. A Pasuk in Yeshaya. Yeshaya Novi is giving Musa to Klal Yisrael. L'chein shimino zois ania ushchuras v'loy miyoyin. Yeshaya is addressing Klal Yisrael and he's saying, you Jews, you're all shikr. No, if we're all shikr, then we don't know what we're doing. All the averus that we do is because we are drunk. If we're drunk, we're oynis rachmana patre. Wow, what a wonderful defense. I can now do all the sins in the world because we're shchuris v'lemiyoyin. We're all shikr even without drinking. Frank Yumar, not so simple. Nice way. Shikr, what happens if a shikr engaged in a financial transaction? Mekchoy mekach. Memkore memker of Rabbeinu Sheyesh b'misa mimisen oisoi malkis malkin oisoi kloli shodoba harihu kipikech lechol dvarov. There is no ptur of shikr. If you go to a judge, you can plead insanity, but you cannot plead drunkenness. If a person is drunk and chas v'shalom he does an aveda whilst he's drunk, you throw the books at him. If Cholila, he was driving under the influence of alcohol and he killed someone, you go and punish the guy for manslaughter and you put him in jail. Ella, the only p'tur that you get if you happen to be shikr, you should put him in a tefillah. And you can't daven then. If you're drunk, go back to sleep, you can't daven. In fact, we said before, tefillosei te'eva. So, Ibazoi, why are you telling me name of Rulaz and Azari, you can be patras kol oilam kulim in adin? You can't. Anybody that does an Aveira, he gets punished. What he meant to say is that if anybody ever misses davening, for whatever reason, chas v'shalom, I'll give a defense and say, shchuras v'loy miyoyin, that the person was shikr, and shikr is a good defense for not davening. That we said before, that if a person is shikr, mekchimeka, memkari memker, that he's chas v'shalom chayiv and all the aveiros, that's dafka when he happens to be a shtickle drunk. He just drank the arba koisis on of full wine, not of grape juice, on Pesach night, and he feels tipsy. The guy is, he can't even walk straight, he can't even talk straight. Aval, he gear the shikrusa shaloit, he became so shikr like Loit, that Loit lived with his own daughters when he was shikr. Then potami kulin, that person is totally out of it. He's, you know, that's a good insanity defense. It'd be a temporary insanity, but that's a good defense against chas v'shalom, ol aveiros, etc. Anyway, we'll stop over here, and we'll start Mitzvah tomorrow. Omer Rav Chanina, have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael. I get in winter to all of you. It should be a very successful year, a year full of only happiness, nachas, and good health for one and all. And tomorrow we start, Barry, at 7:45, Mir Tashem. With God's help, I hope we'll Mitzvah have a minion tomorrow at Rabbi Goran Shtiebel. I hope to be there, Mir Tashem. Tell all of your friends to come so we have a robust minion and at least have a minion. Mitzvah will finish then at 7:30, 7:35, 7:40, and we'll have our Shir Mir Tashem in the ladies' auxiliary at 7:45. Brother Shah, you wanted to ask or say something?
Someone should organize. I wanted to ask a question, but I want to say for the minion,
yes,
that it was only Ed and then I came later today, and so someone should, I'm not in a position to do that, maybe organize some calls, because I'm afraid. I went over to Shaykhim and they, only with me and Ed, do we make the minion. So it's not only Vorhin's Shtiebel.
No, all of the shuls on the west side, all the shuls of all the Shtiebelach are suffering because of COVID. But also bear in mind that today is the first day after Yom Tov. A lot of people away from Yom Tov, just like I'm returning today. Mir Chemendi will be returning today, and others will be returning. I think Reb Amram was probably in Lakewood, whatever. And Mir Hashem, more people will come. And yes, Bli Neda, we will try to organize to make sure that we will have a good quorum tomorrow morning. But you want to ask something on the Gemara?
Okay, the Sphira. I want to ask about Sphira and the Keto. How does that translate with respect to a super? How is that? How is Sphira and Lakito is talking about a Jewish person who's working for a Gentile?
The Eitzah of our Gemara.
Translate otherwise.
No, understood. Our Gemara is talking about a Jewish employee. You are correct, but there is a parallel halacha that if you have a goy that owns a property and therefore that is a legal interference with your ability to be able to go and make an eruv, what you can do is you can rent his property from him, like we had in the Mishnah. You have to be socher rishus, and they in fact approached Haman in the Gemara and said, "We want to go and rent your property," and he refused. What you can do is you don't have to go to the actual owner. Sechira Lakita tells you can go also to his employee and you can rent the premises from him. So that is not the same as our halacha and our Gemara. Here we're talking about a Jewish employee. It's a parallel halacha. Not that Sechira Lakita will contribute towards the Erev, but you don't have to go and rent the premises from the owner. You can rent the premises from the custodian, the super, the doorman, etc. Okay, halacha lemaisa. Speak to your competent Orthodox rabbi, and hopefully he will corroborate what I've just said. And if he doesn't, please let me know so that next time we will not share fake news, but rather tell you the real story. Have a wonderful day, and zayge benched, and zayge zunt. Good to see you all.